7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Everybody, we are back again, and this time we are without the anchor to our ship. Tim is not here. I hope he heard that. That'd be very exciting. Special guest, Spencer Camp. Spencer, how's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Pony Kick Spence, as we often refer to him as. And to the listeners last week, he did not get a ticket. He was lying to us, but we appreciate you watching last week.
There was a GoFundMe started, though, if you'd like to contribute.
Was there really?
You would do that.
$7.50.
Also, we have intern Joey in the house. He's on the ground. There is no video of him right now, so he is directly there. So if we are looking that way, he is on the ground right there. Joey, how's the video looking?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. That's great. Let's go ahead and move on with the outcomes for Week 16 in the NFL season. We're going to be breaking down some of these games here, and Saturday games. Guys, how are we feeling about these Saturday games?
I liked them. I did have to work. This was the first Colts game I missed all season, but it was nice having football on Saturday, especially with college football coming to an end and it only being bowl season right now. Can't get me enough of the NFL action.
The Colts-Ravens game was actually a much better game than I thought it would be. From what I remember about the Packers-Vikings game, it was kind of boring.
Yeah, me and Josh, we need laptops. Spencer, he's got like a photographic memory. He's like, I don't need a laptop. I don't even need to look at my phone. He's like, everything just comes to me. I can tell you how many stats Teddy Bridgewater threw for last week. It would be zero, but...
Zero.
You knew that.
I knew that.
You're a genius.
Alex Collins had 18 rushes, 51 yards on the ground, and he also had 15 yards through the air. Is Alex Collins going to be the Ravens' go-to guy going into the A, playoffs, and B, going into 2018?
I think he is going to be. He's going to be a thumper. He's going to be extremely cheap next year. Next year, the Ravens, he's an exclusive rights-free agent, so the only contract he can sign is for the veteran minimum, which is about $600,000, which is extremely cheap for any veteran player, and especially for a guy who's going to rush for over 1,000 yards in his first year fully starting for the NFL team. So I think there's a very good chance that Alex Collins will be on the Baltimore Ravens next year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's good. I mean, every time I've watched him, I've never actually seen him do anything. But like Tom said, he's going to have over 1,000 yards, so more power to him. But I wasn't that impressed with him watching him run.
No?
No. I feel bad for Frank Gore.
Yeah.
Dude's been a baller his whole career. And ever since he got to Indy, it's been a disappointment. He went there to try to win a championship with a great young quarterback. Andrew Luck's been banged up ever since he got there. I don't know if he's going to end up retiring, but it's still fun to watch the old man run.
Frank Gore, is he going to be around next year?
I have a feeling he'll sign somewhere. It might be with the same kind of role that like a Jamal Charles had this year, kind of limited, only splitting the carries. But I think he still can get it done.
Yeah, there's a... comments on here from us. It looks like it may be Tim on the other side says, what's with the pole smoking lumberjack? Looks homeless. So that
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds pretty derogatory.
Yeah. I like your beard, Spence.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with Frank Gore and the Colts. They're in a weird situation because, one, will Andrew Luck come back and be the Andrew Luck of old? Or is he going to be we'll see where he's at again next year, and then is it going to be another quote-unquote wasted year for Frank Gore?
It'll be interesting.
Indeed. Next up, we have the second Saturday game, Minnesota Vikings at the Green Bay Packers.
Packers are mailing it in. That was a horrendous game by them. Vikings really didn't even do much on the offensive side of the football. They didn't really need to. They were able to control the clock, and that defense was suffocating. And Brett Hundley, 17 of 40, 130 yards, 2 interceptions, quarterback rating 30. Not good.
Yeah, I think the Vikings were just trying to get out of the game without any significant injuries.
Oh, yeah.
It was about 0 degrees. or maybe 5 degrees at tip off. So
it's in a dome, though. Or
no, it was at Lambeau, bro.
I thought it was in Minnesota.
Will you stop banging that beer on my table?
You realize how loud that is, Spencer?
Unbelievable.
It's delicious beer, though.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see where the Vikings go from here. Dalvin Cook in 2018, I think he's going to be a stud. But who will the quarterback be for this Vikings team?
It really just depends how Case Keenum does in the playoffs. Right now they've locked up a playoff spot. They should be getting a bye. And if he can lead them to the NFC title game or the Super Bowl, I think it has to be Case Keenum. But right now all three of the quarterbacks they have are free agents. So it's completely up in the air.
Yeah, we were talking about this off air. I think you got to let Sam Bradford go, try to get Bridgewater to a short-term deal, and keep Keenum no matter what, whether it be short-term deal or franchise tagging him.
Yeah, it's weird with Keenum because we've talked about it before the show, and he's been a career backup. He hasn't been good as the backup. I've talked him up just because it's fun to do, and now that he's actually doing very well, it's very exciting. But at the same time, it just, where do you go? The Vikings, they have to make, I believe, the Super Bowl in order for Case Keenum to be the quarterback for next year. Yep. If they don't make the Super Bowl, I don't think Case Keenum comes back to this team.
There's a chance, and it really just depends who's willing to pay him what. There might not be a great quarterback market. We were talking about this earlier, that there's five or six quarterbacks that could possibly go in the first round of the NFL draft. And if the Vikings, if let's say Baker Mayfield falls to them at the end of the first round, they might take him and roll with him. They have a great team around their quarterback, and that's something a lot of teams don't have right now.
People want to know how that beer tastes.
It's actually very good. My mother-in-law put it in my Christmas stocking.
Oh.
It's very delicious.
Not bad. Next game we have the Browns at the Bears. Bears win 20-3. I thought this was a game that DeShone Kizer and the Browns could have won. I thought we were going to see a big day out of Josh Gordon, even though it was at the Chicago field. And, of course, we all know the Chicago field is a very terrible field. I thought that the Browns, this is a game they could have won.
Plus, it was snowing. It was extremely shitty out on Sunday night, or Sunday morning, when this game was going on. Probably the worst weather out of any game going on Sunday. But I thought the Browns were going to win it as well. Hugh Jackson, the last two times he's won a football game as a head coach, have been on Christmas Eve. This is Christmas Eve. Everything was going in the right direction, and they just couldn't get it done. It's frustrating. I don't know what the Browns should do. I'm a big proponent of being loyal to your head coaches. It sucks to have to keep restarting. That's something they've had to continually do over and over and over again. So I'm kind of hoping they stick with Hugh, draft a quarterback early, and give him a couple more years to see how they get going.
It's my understanding that they actually are sticking with Hugh.
Who knows, though, with Cleveland?
Yes, I think they've already given the vote of confidence and said that they are going to hire a new offensive coordinator. So we'll see how that goes. But I just love the Bears, too. They don't throw the ball all year, and then the worst weather they've seen in the entire season, they decide to finally open it up and start letting Mitch throw the ball. So I can't wait for the Bears to get a new coach.
As a Bears fan, because you are a Bears fan, correct?
Unfortunately, yes.
Do you think Mitchell Trubisky here is the answer?
I do. I think he's going to be a decent quarterback in the NFL.
Okay.
I saw an article that a lot of NFL pundits or whatever were saying the Rams or the Bears are going to be next year's Rams.
Who said that?
I don't see it. I'd have to get you names, but
yeah, we did. We probably said it first
about 6 weeks ago.
I don't see it.
It's the way you got to think about it. If they hire they get Jim Bob Cooter. He's a pretty good offensive mind. He comes in, and then they draft tons and tons of offensive weapons.
You got to
maybe make one or two free agent signings. Then you just surround your quarterback with talent, give him a good offensive scheme, not a coach that's playing freaking Flintstones football out there, yeah. Like John Fox's.
You got to think of it this way. And Joey has watched a lot of Matthew Stafford football. Jim Bob Cooter and that offense is very exciting to watch. And if you get a good offensive coordinator / Jim Bob Cooter, plus he's got an awesome name, he comes into the Chicago Bears. You surround him with Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, Adam Shaheen, who is a playmaking tight end. maybe another tight end that can do something. You draft a wide receiver at pick number, they're at, what, 9 now? Yep. Maybe you draft a Cortland Sutton, they're at 9, and if Sutton's gone, then you draft another big-bodied wide receiver. And then maybe round 4, 3, 4, you draft another wide receiver or another playmaker. You do that, their defense is actually not as shitty as what people think. It's actually pretty okay. Eddie Jackson played very well this year. The Bears team is definitely going to that mold, but if they stick with an older coach, then that is where their downfall goes, because we've seen that show before. But they have to go with, and we've explained this in the wide receiver episode that we did for the top 5 rankings in the 2018 draft class, they need that big-bodied wide receiver. There's a wide receiver in the draft, Ridley, who is a very good wide receiver, probably only 6 foot, 185 pounds, maybe even if that, probably the best route runner in the draft class, but Cortland Sutton is 6'4", 220 pounds, and the last time that the Bears had a big-bodied wide receiver was 1, Alshon Jeffrey, and 2, Brandon Marshall. And what were they then? They were pretty good back then.
Well, I mean, they had the man, Jay Cutler, throwing them the ball, so...
After I just went on that little rant, I'm sorry. You gotta give them talent. And that's what the Rams did. They had baby hands golf, and they surrounded them with talent. That's what you gotta do.
The blueprint is there.
Agreed.
Follow it.
Let's move on. We have the Detroit Lions at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals shockingly win this game 26-17.
Spencer, I think you have something special to say.
I just want to shout out all my Detroit Lions fans, friends. Feel bad for them, but I don't at the same time. I was up there for the Bears game. I got a lot of crap from them, from random Lions fans, so sorry. But I don't feel bad. I like to see this, actually. So, Bears fan, we're a dumpster fire right now. Lions, they're always a dumpster fire, so what are you going to do?
This is a typical Detroit Lions game, just blowing it at the end of the season when they have a real chance. And the Bengals really aren't playing for anything, and they let Giovanni Bernard look like an all-pro against them and just completely torch them. Joe Mixon, my boy, went out early in this football game, kind of upset. I was looking forward to watching him play. But big game for A.J. Green. Good seeing him out there again. Eric Ebron coming to life at the end of the season. Big-time disappointment. He was a guy we were telling people to go out and draft, and he kind of sucked the majority of the year. The last couple of weeks, he's been putting it on and being a number one tight end out there. And Tyon Green, he looked good out there. He looked like the best running back for the Lions in this game.
Who do you think the leading rusher on this team is going to be from next year, 2018?
Darius Geis will be a rookie. I don't know if they're going to draft Geis in the first, but this running back class is completely loaded, better than last year's.
I don't know if it's going to be a rookie, but I don't think it will be someone who's currently on the roster.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it will be either. So, Stafford, is he the answer at quarterback for this team? Do they sign him to that big contract?
He's a franchise quarterback. It's not realistic that you could let him walk away. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm not a huge fan of Jim Caldwell, and I feel bad for Stafford. It's just, they're in football purgatory.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he has to be, right? Like Tom said, you can't.
Like Kirk Cousins.
Right. You already signed him.
Yeah.
You can't eat the money, so you just got to try to build around him for the next 3 or 4 years and hope it pans out.
Next up, we have the L.A. Rams at the Tennessee Titans. The Rams win this game. Close game, 27-23.
Todd freaking Gurley. He dominated this football game. He's definitely making a case that he deserves to be the MVP right now. 22 rushes, 118 yards, 5.4 yards per carry. And then receiving. He was a leading receiver for the Rams as well. 10 receptions. 158 yards, an 80-yard touchdown run, 2 touchdowns. He won this game for the Rams.
Did you guys see any of his highlights? He just hurdled people twice.
Yeah. Yep.
And landed on his feet. Yep. He kept going. The guy's a beast.
Absolute freak. And Jared Goff as well. A lot of those stats were kind of, well, he had that 80-yard screen pass to Gurley. So that's 80 of his 300. But Goff, he's a true quarterback right now. And it's showing what happens when you put a good coach and you put talent around a quarterback. He looked so lost last year. People were labeling him a bust. We thought he was a bust. We thought the Rams were going to be horrendous this year, but they're proving us wrong.
Did you guys see where Jeff Fisher tried to take some credit for their current roster?
Terrible.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He said he left them in a very good place. And now he's trying to be the head coach. He said, well, I wouldn't mind being the coach of the Bears, the Colts.
Yeah. Browns. He's throwing his name in basically every race.
Todd Gurley, MVP?
I don't see how he couldn't be the MVP, but that's just me.
Yeah, normally it goes to a quarterback. But last year, look, I know the Rams, they are 11-4 right now. But David Johnson had a better year than Todd Gurley's having this year. He had more touchdowns, more total yards, more receptions. And I know the Cardinals were a worse team, but it's really hard to give a running back that award. I think the last one was AP, and that was 3 or 4 years ago. He did have a special year that year, but it'll be interesting. I could definitely see like Tom Brady getting it. Wentz probably would have been the runaway MVP if he didn't end up getting hurt.
I was going to say, not that this is like the correct way to look at it, but I think a lot of voters are going to look at it and say, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And when you go by recent memory, Todd Gurley, by far and away, has played the best.
That's very true.
Yep.
Yeah. I can definitely see that happening. Miami Dolphins at the Kansas City Chiefs.
That Chiefs offense, it's back right now. Look, they're sticking with the run. They're giving Kareem Hunt the football. He had another 29 carries in this game, 91 yards. Not the greatest yards per carry, but they're showing that they're willing to stick with the run. And that is because of Matt Nagy. We brought him up last year, the offensive coordinator. He's one of the hottest head coaching candidates right now from the Chiefs. But it's good for Andy Reid. He's learning from his mistakes, and he's trusting the coaches that he's put on that coaching staff. But if they continue to run the football like this, they're going to be a threat to win the Super Bowl. That's what they were doing the first 6 weeks of the year, especially week one when they beat the living shit out of the New England Patriots. They did that with Kareem Hunt. Just keep sticking to that. They have enough weapons with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce to get it done, and I think Alex Smith is good enough, too, to lead them onto a deep playoff push.
Tim has some comments for you.
Let's hear him. Is he supposed to be with his family?
He's coming now. Hey, Joey, are you reading the comments over there?
I am now.
How bad is Fat Tim sweating? Does new Tim have diabetes?
I do not have diabetes yet. Perhaps later in life.
Bunch of jerks over here. Actually, one of those were from Farley, and the other one was from Tim. So, very interesting, but not very nice. But with Kansas City, like you did say, they have to, and we said this over and over again, they have to get Kareem Hunt involved and get him touches. Like, I think that magic number of touches that he needs to get is 18 to 22. He's got to get the ball in his hands, regardless if it's running the football or through the air. Got to give him the ball. And I like Chikandrick West as well as a change of pace guy. But really, you have to give it to the rookie, Kareem Hunt. So, next up, we have the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. Buffalo was threatening for a little while. And that touchdown at the half, was it a touchdown or was it not?
It was. The replay system right now, it's broke. What's a catch, what isn't a catch. They called that ruling on the field a catch, and there was nothing showing that he did not complete the process, and they made a bullshit call in my eyes.
I agree. It was a great catch. If you guys saw the DeAndre Hopkins touchdown catch yesterday, I think it was pretty similar to that, and they, you know, Hopkins was ruled a touchdown.
Yep.
I just wish the rules were more subjective. I think that doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell what a catch is or not, so...
Yeah, I think that really was a huge turning point in the game, for one, because the touchdown was overturned. But at the same time, that just, the whole morale of that team right then and there, just thrown out the window. Instead of getting the 7 points, you're settling for the 3 points. And it's very shitty for the Buffalo Bills' part. I'm shocked that there was not a dildo thrown on the field. So
that's the third time this season there's been a controversy against the Patriots. With the touchdown catch.
This game was a lot closer than the score showed. This was not a 37-16 game for most of the game. For most of the first three quarters, it was Bills had 16 through three quarters, and that the Patriots were at 20 for most of it, got a late touchdown. But, yeah, Tom Brady, they're relying on the run right now, and Deion Lewis is getting it done.
Yeah.
It's kind of shocking. He's small for a running back. And he's been known to get banged up and get hurt, so I'm shocked they've been able to just pretty much put everything on his back and let him carry the teams right now.
And Gronk made an awesome catch as well, which was a fantastic catch overall. But, Joey, I saw you look at me when I said the Bills threw a dildo on the field. Do you know what I'm referring to, or no? Have you ever seen it?
Last year, Bills Mafia. Left side of the
field. Yeah, the Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
Have you seen the documentary that Tim has shown us?
No.
It's awesome.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there's like a whole like 10-minute documentary. It's the most ridiculous thing in the world. If you ever get bored, you should watch that. Moving on, though, we have the Atlanta Falcons going to the New Orleans Saints. The Saints win this game 23-13. And the Saints doing what they need to do. And Alvin Kamara, even though he only rushed for 32 yards and only had 12 carries and 7 catches for 58 yards, this kid is the real deal in this offense.
He's just a total matchup nightmare. There's so many, if you watch this game, so many times he'd be in the backfield, they'd option him out of the backfield, line him up in the slot, and he just gets wide open almost on any time any linebacker is trying to cover him, and he just gets those first downs, continues to move the clock and move the chains for the Saints team. Right now, him and Mark Ingram, they are the engine that is driving the Saints team. That defense is playing good, and Marshawn Lattimore made one of the coolest interceptions, the butt interception. It was fantastic.
Can you add that to the butt fumble?
Yeah. Marshawn Lattimore, he should be defensive rookie of the year right now, and possibly an all-pro corner. He's playing lights out right now, even though Julio got the best of him in this game, but Marshawn Lattimore is a stud.
I don't know if there's a more disappointing team this year than the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I know they might sneak into the playoffs here, but they've really underperformed.
Yeah, there's a couple of people on this panel right now that kind of predicted that we thought Steve Sarkisian would cause a little chaos in this Falcons offense, that they wouldn't be firing all cylinders. You know, normally Tim would disagree with me, even though I'm clearly right with my statement, but I hope you don't do the same, Spence.
I will not. I will never agree with Tim, ever, in my entire life.
Yeah, the Falcons right now, they don't look like that same high-powered offense. It happens. It's hard to produce at that elite level. They were a very special offense last year. For the Super Bowl, they were special for majority of three quarters of the game.
And I personally, for one, hope that they do not make the playoffs. I'd rather see the Seahawks versus the Rams.
Yeah, I would rather see that game as well. And the Falcons, they haven't been playing awful. They just haven't been playing to the caliber that they played last year. So it's... You look at it and it's like, oh, they're terrible out there. But in reality, they're just not playing as good as they did last year. They're not terrible, right?
No, and Matt Ryan is playing like Matt Ryan for a majority of his career. Last year was kind of an outlier. He hasn't been elite like that. Hasn't been an MVP candidate besides that one year, and he's back to normal Matt Ryan shit.
Next up, we have the Chargers going to the Jets. The Chargers win this game 14-7 to possibly stay in the playoff hunt. And we got Phillip Rivers throwing one touchdown for 290 yards. Melvin Gordon rushing the ball 19 times for 81 yards and a touchdown. Antonio Gates sighting one touchdown there. Keenan Allen, 10 targets, caught 5 balls on the other side of the ball. Belil Powell runs for 145 and a touchdown. Robbie Anderson, 5 for 51. Couple questions here. Belil Powell, is he the starting running back for the Jets next year? Robbie Anderson, is he the number one wide receiver for the Jets next year?
Powell, I don't think he'll be the guy. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted one this year. They just really haven't shown that much confidence in him right now. And once again, he's getting the chances and he's showing he could be a number one back. But why haven't they been doing this all year? And Robbie Anderson, a couple weeks ago, I said I don't think he is going to be a number one receiver, but right now he's playing like it. And it'll be interesting to see if they get a younger quarterback to pair with him. But he's got the speed, he's got pretty good size, and his ability to get those 50-50 balls are quite impressive.
I like Robbie Anderson. I think the Jets like Robbie Anderson. I will not be surprised to see him be their number one receiver next year. As far as Powell goes, I'm with you. They've already tried to diminish his role with a rookie this year that wasn't a highly touted prospect, so they'll probably go ahead and draft someone.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I like Robbie Anderson. I like what he brings to the table. But Powell, I think he's okay. And that's it. I think he's a fill-in player if you need him.
this year Melvin Gordon was kind of on the border and fringe of being a first-round pick. Do you think he's a lock to go in the first round next year in fantasy? I think right now he's running back 5 on the year.
Yeah, I think he's still a first-round guy next year. I think he has to be. He had Austin Eckler taking carries and touches away from him. And Austin Eckler, he fumbled the ball in one of the game's premier time to fumble the ball, or most not opportune time to fumble the ball, and he did. And I think that may be a factor, not just that one play, but a couple of the other runs that he did have, not such good choices-wise. And I think Melvin Gordon has to be a first-round talent in fantasy drafts.
Yeah, I think he's going to go right around the snake. Whether you late first round or early second round, just depends on a personal basis how much you like him.
Yeah, it's going to be a decision between Deonta Freeman and Melvin Gordon, right? If you take him at pick, if you take Devonta Freeman at pick 11, and you get Gordon at 14, it's pretty much 2 first round picks right there, in my opinion. Because you could take either one of them at 11. Either one of them would be fine there.
Best part with Gordon for me is getting Forrest Lamp. You know, our number one guard. I know Spencer doesn't like Forrest Lamp, and he's got one of the best football names out there, but he's our number one guard last year towards ACL in camp, so he's coming back. Great run blocker. It'll be a big addition with him and Dan Feeney in the interior offensive line for the Chargers.
Next up, we have the Broncos going to the Redskins. Redskins win this game 27-11, and Cousins threw for 299, 3 touchdowns, 1 interceptions. Piran, 17 for 53. Capri Bibbs, 7 for 26. Leading wide receiver on the team, Ryan Grant, 4 for 85. Doxson and Crowder and Vernon Davis all scored a touchdown. On the other side of the ball, we have Demaryius Thomas, 4 catches, 52 yards. C.J. Anderson came to life this game for 88 yards rushing, 1 touchdown, and 45 yards receiving with 7 receptions. Brock Osweiler, we can all agree, is not the answer.
Paxton Lynch starting next week, so.
Yep.
Did you guys actually see Brock was trying to pump up his team on the sideline and yell at him, and no one was listening to him? They literally all ignored him and did whatever they wanted to do.
Just yell it in there.
Doesn't surprise me.
Kirk Cousins, does he stay with the Washington Redskins?
No.
I don't know. I'm just trying to think who else is going to be willing to give him that monster contract. I originally thought San Fran. That was the major rumor. A lot of people were thinking that Kyle Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins. He's been on record as saying that he does want him, but now he's got Jimmy G, who's the hottest quarterback ever. He's better than Tom Brady. You know, people are saying Patriots should have traded Tom Brady and kept Jimmy G over there. But
I know Von Miller was saying he wants the Broncos to go get Kirk Cousins. So
it makes sense.
Joey, can you confirm or look up if the Washington Redskins can tag Kirk Cousins again?
They can, but it's like $38
million. Jesus.
They're not going to do that.
I don't see them tagging him again, and I don't see him negotiating with the Redskins in good faith.
Jags.
With all they've done to him, so I think he's going to be on your team.
Yeah, the Jaguars could. But, yeah, you brought the Broncos. I can see that. They do have an early pick in the draft. But I do know they have some issues with their cap as well. So it might be hard for them to put a $25 million a year quarterback in that cap as well.
Latest comment from Jim Jennings. Let me power bomb Fat Tim through that table.
Does he have a kid to watch or something?
Yeah, he does. That's
who's watching your kid, Jim?
Yeah, probably nobody. You ever watch his Snapchats with what he's watching his child?
Oh, yeah.
Should
be your table, father.
Oh, man. Next up, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to the Carolina Panthers. Oh, actually, real quick, Denver Broncos. I'm drawing a blank on who the kid is now that they drafted. Mr. Irrelevant. Quarterback. Kelly.
Yeah, Chad Kelly.
Do you think that he's got a legit chance to be the starter next year?
Nope.
Like, not at all?
Nope. I just don't think that they're going to be that patient. I think they're going to either draft someone early. They do have a top 10 pick right now. Or they're going to go out and get Kirk Cousins or maybe even trade for Alex Smith or Sam Bradford. They're going to do something at the quarterback spot.
I think they have to go get a veteran.
Yeah.
The team's built already.
Eli.
Yeah, their window's closing. You can't wait for a rookie to develop.
All right. Next game, Buccaneers at the Panthers. Buccaneers lose this game 19-22. Jameis Winston threw for 367 and a touchdown. Peyton Barber was the leading rusher. Mike Evans had over 100 yards receiving finally. Chris Godwin looked really good. And then we have a bunch of nothing after that. Yeah, a little frustrating. On the other side of the ball, Panthers. Cam Newton ran the ball 14 times for 52 yards and a touchdown. Christian McCaffrey, 9 for 39. And receiving, we have Bird, who had that one big catch coming out. And who did he juke? Brent Grimes ended up getting 31 yards on that play. Greg Olsen only 27 yards. But if I remember correctly, I think Bird is now placed on the IR for the rest of the year, which what I have heard and what I have read is that Christian McCaffrey will now move more to a prominent wide receiver role as compared to being in the backfield.
This is an interesting game. I really didn't think Tampa had much of a chance. I thought Carolina was going to come out to play. You know, they still have a chance to be the number two seed or number three seed in the NFC and win the NFC South and get a home playoff game. But the Bucs came out. They were able to move the football, but they just struggled finding the end zone. Only one touchdown pass, and dude's Wilson, but they call him Bobo Wilson. But here it says Jesus or Jesus. I don't know. The announcers called him Bobo, which I thought that was an interesting name. Peyton Barber, though, he looks better than Doug Martin right now. Martin will probably be cut from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers next year. Only 6 carries, 7 yards. Disgusting.
Did you guys see Winston have a mild freakout as they lost the game? Did you also see how the Panthers won?
Yeah.
Just everything seems to go right.
Oh, yeah.
Cam Newton fumbles the ball forward, somehow picks it back up, and dives in the end zone. So.
He meant to do it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Nope.
Yeah, that freak out by Jameis Winston was it was something. As a Buccaneers fan, it was a little frustrating to watch, but what I do respect at the end is he went up to the official and apologized and shook his hand. So I give him credit for that, but man, was he definitely in the wrong for doing that in the first place.
You think Dirk Cutter's gone?
Yeah, he's gone. Dude, all these rumors about Gruden coming back, everybody's saying that Gruden is the guy that they want in Tampa again, and that's a place that he wants to go because it's Tampa, Florida, so why wouldn't you want to go there? It's very, very interesting. If Gruden does go there, he's calling around and asking his other his assistants if they would be interested at all. So
his son from Washington, he'll coach his son.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. But if he does go there, it'll be interesting. That's all I know.
Do you guys believe in the Hard Knocks curse? The Rams, obviously they were bad last year. They were in Hard Knocks. Different circumstances. But Buccaneers this year had high expectations going into the season. They were in Hard Knocks. Is John Gruden going to come next year and take this team to the playoffs?
He could. It really wouldn't surprise me. I really thought this team was going to have a chance to make the playoffs. Got a young quarterback, a lot of weapons around him. Drafted O.J. Howard, one of my favorite players, coming out in the draft last year. But that defense, I probably just gave him too much credit. I thought they would be able to make some stops. They played better last year, but they definitely need a change right now. But we've seen good coaches being able to bring a lot out in their players and make surprising playoff runs.
Next game, I think this may be the biggest shocking outcome. We have the Jaguars going to the San Francisco 49ers, and the Niners win this game 44. Yes, Jimmy G drops 44 points on the Jacksonville Jaguars, the defense that has played so well this whole year, and the Jaguars only scored 33 against the Niners. What a game.
Jimmy Garoppolo is playing very good football right now. I want to see what this kid can do when he's got legit talent around him. Two very good ones.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy G, he's good. I mean, they got to lock him up to a long-term deal.
Is he going to get tagged, or will he sign that long-term deal?
If I was San Fran, I would sign to a long-term deal. Try to get a little bit of a discount, try to get a little bit under the Derek Carr money, but I don't know if they'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's still young. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, going to be second year. I think they'll be able to work it out with him, get him into a long-term deal here.
The thing is, with Jimmy Garoppolo, he's playing so well. Two touchdowns, 242 yards, an interception, right? We have the leading rusher, Matt Breida, of all people. And the thing is, they really have no true go-to wide receiver on this team. Pierre Garçon is on the IR. Their best receiving threat right now, five receptions on five targets in Kyle Juszczyk, which is an H-back, where he was used in Atlanta, correct? And he did the same thing. He's a fullback that can catch the ball a little bit. And then you have George Kittle, who's playing very well. And then Marquise Goodwin, the castaway wide receiver from the Buffalo Bills last year, is actually doing something pretty well for himself and this team. And Trent Taylor is looking pretty good. Pretty much they have a team full of third wide receivers, slot wide receivers, and that's really about it. Do they go out? Do they get that big free agent wide receiver if there is one? Do they draft a big name wide receiver? What do they do?
Allen Robinson. He's already made some inquiries about joining this team. He's asked some former college teammates what Jimmy G is like in the locker room. And he's going to be a free agent next year. We see right now Jacksonville. You know, their cap's getting up there. They paid a lot of recent free agents big-time money on that defense. So I think Allen Robinson's going to walk. And Mr. AR-15 with Jimmy G, along with Pierre Garçon, there's going to be some good weapons there in San Francisco.
Yeah, that should be a good deal for the 49ers, too. They should be able to get him at some sort of discount coming off of an ACL injury. So
might be a one-year prove-it deal, in all honesty.
It's possible. Next up, we have the Seahawks at the Cowboys. And this is a game that was a little shocking. I thought the Cowboys would have ran away with this game. Ezekiel Elliott coming back from suspension. Coming back from where was he at? Cuba? Brazil? Puerto Rico?
Mexico.
Came back and he had 24 rushes, 97 yards. Didn't he say that he guaranteed he would get 200 yards?
I think I did.
You did?
I think I said like 43.
I heard he made a bet with Eric Dickerson that he would get 200 yards.
Yeah, I think that was the bet. And he failed. So Dak Prescott not playing very well. 21 out of 34. For 182 and two interceptions. And I bet you one person that felt good is listener Mike Spangler. Crack. He hates the Cowboys. Loves his Eagles. So them losing this game, I bet you he feels very good about this. But Russell Wilson throws for a whopping 93 yards in this win. Two touchdowns. And yeah, he was the leading rusher with 29 yards rushing on 9 rushes. I don't understand the Seahawks offense. I don't get it. How they're 9-6 blows my mind, but they won this game. Oh, well.
Big time disappointing game for the Cowboys. You brought up Dak. Though he only got sacked 4 times, but they were big time sacks that either moved them far back into the downs. They had a couple times there inside the goal or inside the 10-yard line, second and goal, and took like a 13-yard sack. And Dan Bailey missed 2 field goals. Kind of crazy. This game could have been a lot different, but Cowboys just didn't play good enough. And I was shocked. I thought Zeke was going to go off, especially after we just saw Todd Gurley do this team. Cowboys, they needed this win. They couldn't get it done.
And Dez Bryant had a terrible game, yelling on the sidelines to get the ball. They come in, they throw him the ball. He instantly fumbles. Wasn't even a good fumble. He was just holding the ball with one hand. Someone punched it out. Later on in the game, passed him right in the hands, went through his hands, got intercepted. If you're the Cowboys, do you get rid of Dez Bryant? I mean, he just seems to be like in that Brandon Marshall territory where he's more of a cancer
team. I would almost agree with you to a certain extent, except for the fact that their number 2 wide receiver is
Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley. I mean, they're both pretty good.
But they are not Dez Bryant. They are not a number 1 wide receiver. They are not Mr. Dontrell Inman from the Chicago Bears. They are just not the premier guy. And who's the other wide receiver? Is it Butler? Is the other guy that they have? But those guys are not Dez Bryant. They are not the go-to wide receiver where you can throw the ball up. A Doug Baldwin. And I think that was the craziest thing is after this whole game, Earl Thomas went up to Coach
Jason Garrett
and said, "Hey, come get me."
Yeah.
Like that. Who says that after a game? That is outrageous. But the thing is, he's a realist, and I get that because the Seahawks can't keep all these players and keep giving out these max contracts, people are going to start, they're going to have to go.
And he was beefing with his teammate, Wagner. So, yeah. I don't know. Nothing makes me happier than seeing Des Bryant fail and have a miserable game. It's up there with, like, seeing Tim Thompson fail, so.
They want to know if you have a cell phone because you're homeless.
I don't even think that's funny. Was that a Farley joke?
No, it was a Justin joke. Does homeless Tim even have a phone?
Oh, Justin.
Put my phone down.
So awkward.
But yeah,
do I have glasses and a hat on this today?
No, you don't. But Des Bryant, it's funny because at this point in time, you almost have to consider him almost a number two guy, and you have to go ahead and replace him with somebody that you possibly can either in free agency or in the draft.
Well, in fantasy purposes, he's absolutely number two, but he's still their number one pass catcher. He's still the guy that when cornerbacks are shadowing their number one receiver, they're going to Des Bryant. He still can be a game changer, but this Dallas offense isn't the same as it was last year.
And I hate when people say stuff like this, but he really needs to grow up. Like, he literally cost his team the playoffs.
It wasn't just him.
I mean, at the time that he fumbled, it was a close game. I think it was maybe even 0-0 still.
You could say Dan Bailey as well. He missed that first field goal when Dallas was actually driving the football. They had to kick a field goal so they had enough time to do
it. I agree, but you can't
miss it again.
Can't be one of your star players and acting like that.
That's how he's always been.
Next up, we have the Giants at the Cardinals. Giants put up a whopping 0 points. Cardinals, 23. Eli Manning, 2 interceptions. Wayne Gallman, leading rusher with 18 yards. Giants are garbage.
Next.
Yeah, was this game even aired?
Larry Fitzgerald put up over 100 yards, 1 touchdown. He came out and said, if I remember correctly, that he still doesn't know if he's going to come back for the next season, even though he did sign that 1-year contract extension. Does he play next year or does he not?
He does play.
He plays. I hope it's for a different team.
It's not going to be a new team. Cause if he plays, it'll be for the Cardinals since he signed a contract.
Well,
but they will have a new head coach.
Hope he demands a trade.
Bruce Arians said that he will not be coaching the Cardinals next season.
Maybe the Cowboys.
Next up,
teach Des something.
Next up, we have the Steelers at the Texans. Steelers put up 34 points. They destroy the Texans here. Texans only 6. TJ Yates, awful. 1 touchdown, 83 yards, and an interception. Shocking stat here. Alfred Blue, leading rusher, 16 carries, 108 yards, compared to Lamar Miller's 10 and 55. Le'Veon Bell puts up 69 yards rushing. And a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster looking better and better week after week. Touchdown, 75 yards. But Hopkins made one of the greatest catches you will ever see, this year at least. Great catch by DeAndre Hopkins. 4 touchdown. 1 touchdown, 65 yards for him.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any way that he caught that football. When I saw it live, I was like, there's no way. They slowed it down. Absolutely great catch. But how good is DeAndre Hopkins right now? I think he has to be a lock to be possibly even go number one wide receiver next year. We're seeing what he's doing with terrible quarterbacks like TJ Yates and Taylor Heineke. Just imagine what he could be doing with Deshaun Watson right now.
Did you see the size of his hands? I had no idea.
He's like cut the 4X gloves and all that.
Yeah, wears 3X gloves and he has to cut them because they won't fit him.
And he also has a little Yorkie that he carries around in a purse, which is really crazy for probably the most physical wide receiver in the NFL to have a Yorkie in a purse. Kind of metrosexual guy, but one hell of a wide receiver.
Sorry, Jerry, that the Texans let you down so bad this year.
Next up, we have the Raiders going to the Eagles. Eagles win this game 19-10, and Nick Foles, guys, will he be able to bring the Eagles to the Super Bowl?
No.
Oh. Mr. Mike Spangler will not be happy with that.
If they had Carson Wentz, they would be serious contenders right now. But you never know. They do have that defense, very opportunistic. We saw them once again score a defensive touchdown in the last play of the game. They got a lot of pass rushers. Chris Long looks like a rookie out there. This dude, in a good way, he's playing fresh. He's getting after the quarterback. But the Oakland Raiders in this game, watching the game, the only thing that stuck out, that offensive line, completely different than it was last year. Last year, they were physically dominant. They would beat up every other team. They would create a nice, solid pocket for Derek Carr. This year, he's getting pressured almost on every snap. And I feel bad for those receivers. But shout-out to my boy, Amari Cooper. You know, he only had 3 catches. One of them was for a long tutty.
I'm going to use Tim's definition of ironic here. is it ironic that I think the Eagles are going to be this year's Raiders? Last year, Raiders, very good team, heading into the playoffs. Derek Carr broke his leg. They got bounced first round. I don't know that obviously the Eagles have a bye, but I think we were talking about earlier, the NFC division's totally stacked. No matter what, it's going to be a home game. It's going to be a tough game, so I don't think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, unfortunately.
I don't know, guys. I personally am an Eagles believer. I like the defense. Defense has been playing really well, and Nick Foles is not a no-name backup quarterback. Nick Foles has been in the league for a decently long time. He's got great numbers across the board. He's played for the Eagles before. He left for a little while, came back. I think he's still a very good, capable quarterback, and I think he could take the Eagles far into the playoffs. Super Bowl, maybe. I'm not sure, but all I know is that this team is playing very well. If Zach Ertz and you have Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, if they show up and if they have any running game whatsoever between LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, Corey Clement, and any of the other 8 running backs that they have, then by all means, I think the Eagles have a shot. That's where I'm at with it. Before we close everything off, MVP, we talked about it a little bit. Todd Gurley?
Todd Gurley for me.
Who are your top, if you had to pick your top 5 options, who would it be? I think it would be Todd Gurley, Tom Brady. Who else would you put up there?
There's really no one sticking out right now.
Could you make a case for Case Keenum?
No. Absolutely not.
I think you still make a case for Carson Wentz.
Maybe.
Carson Wentz, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown had more receiving yards than 4 teams. 4 teams. That's a real stat.
That's outrageous.
He out-receives the Ravens, the Bills, the Bears, and the Browns.
Wow. Yeah, that's a crazy stat right there. Trying to think if there's anybody else that you could possibly throw in there, but kind of drawing blanks on some of them.
It's really hard right now. You could say Cam Newton is up there.
Could you still say Russell Wilson?
You can, but they might not make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, there's no way in hell. He's not having that good of a year.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's really it for that. Yeah.
I think it's got to be Gurley.
Gurley is a solid choice. I can't disagree with that.
I think it'll be Brady, but
I want to see a running back get it. If Gurley got it, I'd be pretty excited. Again, if you guys are watching this still, hopefully you are, we are giving away the Le'Veon Bell signed autographed jersey. It does exist. Joey, can you grab it real quick? It's in that box. I'll hold it up real quick. Yes, it is real. We haven't been making it up. Whoa, autograph on there. Le'Veon Bell jersey.
There's no autograph.
Autograph is right here. So go ahead, email us, message us, do all that good stuff, and get in on the giveaway that we have going on for you guys. So
yeah, for $500, we'll put in a frame for you.
I just signed that jersey.
You did not just sign this. This is a real
JSA
authentic
certified
jersey.
It's all authentic.
Yeah,
what does that even mean?
Huh?
I don't even know what JSA means. Is there a specific?
You want me to look it up?
You could.
Do you have a picture of Bell signing the jersey?
It's in there.
Yeah, it's in there.
Oh, okay. Shut up then.
That's like less proof than anything else, though. You could find any picture online.
No, like a picture of you standing next to them.
They don't allow you to do that.
Oh, okay.
Anything else?
I mean, should we talk about the playoff picture? I mean,
we can talk a little bit about it, yeah. My computer's frozen, so it's dead. I think it died. So now I'm a bum like you right now. I have no phone either, so.
Okay. All right, well, so the AFC, the top seeds are pretty much set. At this point, it's going to come down to the wild card. Pretty much between the Titans, the Chargers and the Bills. Titans control their own destiny. They just need to win. Other two teams need some help. Who do you think is going to make it in?
I am going to go with the Chargers. I think them and the Baltimore Ravens will be the wild card teams for the AFC.
Chargers need some help, and it's very tough for them to make it. But I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. I am just not a believer in the Tennessee Titans. I feel like we've said it week after week. They don't have an identity. 1 week they want to be a passing team. 1 week they want to try to run the ball. They got to figure it out. Marcus Mariota is basically running on one leg out there. He's running hurt. It's not looking good for the Titans. I think they're going to lose this game and get knocked out of the playoffs.
I agree, and we'll go back to Tim's definition of irony here. The Jaguars are going to beat the Titans to keep the Titans out of the playoffs, and then they're going to turn around first week of the playoffs and get beat by the Chargers, the team who they helped in.
That'd be very interesting.
So, that'd be awesome.
NFC side, pretty much it's between the Falcons and the Seahawks.
Falcons win, I believe they are in. They have the better conference record right now. But if the Falcons lose, Seahawks will make it in if they win.
I want the Seahawks to make it in. I think it will be a lot more interesting playoffs with them in it.
Same here, I agree.
The Falcons, or the Panthers still have a chance to win the NFC South still. They have to win this week. But it'll be interesting. There's going to be a lot of good matchups. I really think it's up in the air. Right now, for me, the two weakest teams in the NFC might be the number one and two seeds.
Yeah.
Just because they're quarterbacks. You look at the other quarterbacks, the guys who have been to the Super Bowl, guys who have won Super Bowls. You got Drew Brees, Cameron Newton, Matt Ryan, and possibly Russell Wilson. All those guys have been to the Super Bowl and are far superior quarterbacks than Case Keenum and Nick Foles, in my opinion.
All right, call the Super Bowl. Who's it going to be? Who's facing each other in the Super Bowl?
New Orleans Saints and New England Patriots.
I like that matchup.
I like a team that can run the football. They got the defense right now to play man coverage against the Patriots, play man coverage against other teams, and I think the Saints, they're doing it right now.
If I was Tim, I would say the Panthers and the Seahawks, not realizing they're in the same division, but I'm not an idiot, so I'm going to go with the Steelers and the Saints. I like the Saints.
I'm going to pick with my heart, not my brain, I want to see Rams-Steelers.
That'd be...
I don't want to see the Patriots.
Nope.
I don't think the Rams can make it, but I hope that they do.
That'd be a pretty awesome game right there. I think that'd be very interesting. Although, James Harrison signing with the Patriots now, that's a little insult to injury.
I hate it.
That's nothing but him giving them all of what the Steelers do on defense.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason they signed him.
All right. Anything else?
Thanks for having me.
Justin wanted to know if you're upset with the Chicago Bulls tanking, but yet winning at the same time.
I'm not upset by it, no.
Okay.
I like to watch them try.
All right. Again, thank you, Spencer, for joining us. Joey, for hanging out in the studio. Tom, as always, being here. Tim, thank you for not being here. And again, with the jersey, please go on Twitter. Hit us up at PonyCake Sports. Do you have a Twitter still?
It's Ponycake Tom.
At Ponycake Tom. Tim is Fight Talk Tim, I believe. And
it's probably spelled wrong.
And you guys can go ahead on there, message us, tweet us out, and ask us your fantasy questions. Get put in the drawing for the autographed jersey. And yeah, that's it. That's all we have for you. And until next time.
Peace!
This is the after show part. We just kind of talk until I walk up there.
Uh-oh. An hour ago.
I'm super glad he's not here.
He said he's still coming.
Because when he gets here, I'm leaving.
Alex Collins has 895 rushing yards right now.
Pretty close.
Oh, you like the Tony Reale?
It's going to be very...
You like the Statmaster?
It's going to be very, very close. He's got